Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. You found me. I'm broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio out of the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois, and it feels great. You know what? It's raining. It's cold. It's gloomy. You know, it's thundering. It's also snowing. So we're having it feels good, but it's a messy day. Let me put it that way. It's messy. It's sloppy. It's gloomy. It's what people always say. This is great sleeping weather. It's cloudy. It's gray. It's miserable. But hey, I'm on the radio and I feel good. So I just want to say, if you hear any cracking, if there's any kind of technical difficulties going on, you'll know it's due to the weather, because everything affects the internet, especially the weather. The weather. So if there's any cracking going on, we may go off the air for a few minutes or whatever, because of the weather. I mean, it's out there. Now that we've got that out of the way, I'm looking at something on my studio screen here. It says save, cancel. I got to figure out what that is. It's the first time I've ever seen it. So, I don't want to click anything because I don't want everything going haywire. I have to figure that out when later on after the show is over. Well, anyway, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, everybody. I mean, 347-857-1762. I have two authors scheduled to be on the show today, Jeannie Seeley Smith and Luann Hunt. It's wonderful. I'm glad to be on the air today. I will be off tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday, to do some writing and some soul searching. And I'm pretty sure a lot of us got to do that soul searching. Found out, wow, what I should be doing better, what I should be doing differently. You know, it happens to the best of us. And all I can say is, you know, if you're going through this type of thing, hang in there with me. All righty, here we go. We're going to talk about, let's see what we got. Mayor Rahm Emanuel, I'm in Chicago, and it's a lot of crap going on in Chicago, especially politically. The Illinois Supreme Court strikes down Chicago Pension Rescue Plan. Wow, that is a blow to Mayor Rahm Emanuel. That's a blow, and it's also a blow to the governor, Bruce Rauner. I mean, the Supreme Court strikes down a pension rescue plan that Rahm peddled in 2014, you know. And now the taxpayers are on the hook. That's what I hate. I mean, we have to pay the teachers, pay their pensions. And they're saying that it was promised in the Illinois Constitution, and Rahm can't have them trying to paying them less and not having them to pay more into their pension. They struck that down, and we're going to get more into that later on. But I do know it's down the road, it's going to be more taxes on top of already historical property taxes in the state of Illinois, already on top of historical sale taxes, Cook County sale taxes. I mean, we in Illinois, the folks in Illinois, we are being taxed up the kazoo. Now there's going to be more taxes because they got to find a way to pay these unfunded pensions. You know, so this is a blow for him. I mean, folks, give me a break. Who's ruining these states? Who is the cause of the chaos? Politicians, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to manage money. They don't know how to put money aside. They don't know what they know how to do is tax and spend. That's it. And when I say spend, I mean S-P-I-N. I can say taxation and just lies. This is something. And the Illinois Supreme Court strikes it down. And so Rahm Emanuel has to go back to the drawing board and try to come up with some way to fund pensions here in the state of city of Chicago. And it's a mess. This may play in the hands of Bruce Rauner because he wants to take over the schools. He wants to bust unions. He wants to get rid of collective bargaining, workman compensation, make Illinois workplaces a right to work places. In other words, no unions available. I mean, if you don't have unions in your workplace, especially cities, and if I can say it, municipalities, it's going to be chaos. You can get laid off. Your wages can go down. You know, I mean, and they can fire you at will. You know, unions play a big part. I mean, we've had unions for decades, and now the Republicans, they want to get rid of them. They don't like unions. I don't know why, you know. I mean, if you and I like unions, why would a Republican want to get rid of unions that are protecting our jobs and our livelihoods? And unions are the backbones of getting the benefits that you want and having a voice in the workplace. Without those things, you might as well just give it up. Anyway, this is a blow to Chicago. This is a blow to Emanuel. And this is a blow to Chicago taxpayers. We are going to be on the hook to pay some of these teachers. I have nothing against teachers. And let me say this. The teachers, starting April 1st, the teachers have approved a one-day strike in Illinois, in Chicago. A one-day strike, saying it's not authorized. It's not an authorized strike, but it's a strike where the teacher's going to stand up to Mary Emanuel, and it's a strike where they're going to stand up to Bruce Rauner for more funding, because these people, Mary Emanuel and Bruce Rauner, they give nothing, care nothing less about these schools. And I don't blame them. It's going to be a rally downtown. I mean, they're going to be all in the streets stopping traffic as usual, and they will get their point across. Whether Rahm Emanuel or Bruce Rauner adhere to these things is another question. Bruce Rauner is steadfast. I mean, this guy is saying, hey, no budget, no budget. If you don't let me cut unions, then there will not be a budget. There will not be a budget anyway because we don't have any money to pay. Yeah, it's going to be a one-day strike, and folks, they will not be the only workers walking the picket lines because a lot of other groups are going to be joining in on to support the teachers. It's going to be a mess. They are going to be speaking loud and clear in this rally on April 1st, April Fools, if you want to say that. You know, I mean, they're going to have other groups. I mean, you know, so this is going to be a rally in the thousands, and that's a good thing. Getting up off their hind legs, I might even go join in the rally because I'm sick of some of the things that Mary Emanuel is doing and Bruce Rauner is trying to do. This is going to say something, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Bruce Rauner does not give a damn. Emanuel cares somewhat. But Bruce Rauner, the Republican governor, he doesn't give a damn. The guy wants chaos. He wants to see a mess. He wants to see Democrats being excoriated by their base. He wants to see that. So, because if he sees that, then that's a way for him to come in and say, let us take it over. Let the state take it over. That's a way for him to come in and say, hey, the Democrats screwed up everything. Put some Republicans in there, and we're going to fix everything. So he may have an up in that, but I don't think people are going to buy that. Because come April 1st, a lot of people are going to be going downtown for this rally, and they're going to be rallying against Bruce Rauner because colleges and universities are being upended because he refuses to pay his bills. Daycare centers has closed. They're locked down. Over 60 or 70,000 children have been tossed to the curb because he refuses to pay his bills. And when daycare centers are closed, parents don't have any place to put their children as they go to work and try to make ends meet. It's going to be a great rally. And folks, I might go down there myself, not just to look or just to take pictures or video or anything. I want to go down and be a part of it. I want to be one of the voices down there against Bruce Rauner and against Mayor Emanuel. Of course, Pat Quinn and governors before him are responsible for this mess. And don't forget Richard J. Daley. I guess what I'm saying here, folks, is that the mess in Chicago is made by politicians, people we elect to make our lives better, but wind up making it a lot worse. This is awful. You know, so you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to gather some more information on this, folks, and I will be right back. Stay with me. Oh, wow. It's nothing like, welcome back, folks. It's nothing like a great cup of coffee when you're sitting here. And when I'm sitting here and I'm on the radio and I'm talking and being your host and I have a great cup of coffee, I'm addicted to coffee. What can I say? And I probably shouldn't be drinking it. The doctor said, what are you drinking coffee for, George? Especially with cream. I don't know. I'm just addicted to coffee. It's just, and I know I'm not the only one, and it feels good and everything. Okay, Illinois Supreme Court strikes down Chicago Pension Rescue Plan. Rahm Emanuel, actually, he's looking sick because he's got to find another way to try to do this, a legal way, not a just, you know what? Okay, here we go. The Illinois Supreme Court on Thursday, which is today, dealt Mayor Rahm Emanuel an expected body blow in his fight to solve Chicago's daunting pension crisis, but it wasn't down. In fact, the ruling that overturned Emanuel's plan to save municipal employees and laborers' pension funds on pace to run out of money in 8 to 12 years, respectively, all but invited the mayor and the unions to go another round. So this is not over with. This is not over. But you know what? It spells bad news for like I said, us taxpayer, because they're going to be coming after us for more money. There's no doubt about that. The Supreme Court declared that as a matter of law, members of the funds did not bargain away their constitutional rights. That was a quote. That's even though 28 to 31 unions signed off on Emanuel's plan to raise employees' contributions to 11%. So it is a mess. It's going to be, like I said, I'm going to be down there April 1st. I hope I see a lot of you folks down there if you're in Chicago, if you live in Chicago. Okay, so we're going to be down there. Rahm Emanuel said he's disappointed in the ruling. He's disappointed in the ruling, but he will, you know, try to find other areas in trying to fund these pensions. So he said, okay, obviously we would have preferred a win. This is Rahm Emanuel. Obviously we would have preferred a win, but we don't think the door is completely shut. I don't know. If you ask the teachers union, they would say the door is completely shut, Rahm. Okay, quoting, they left the door open to collective bargaining. Not if Bruce Rauner has his way. Because he wants to end collective bargaining as we know it. Okay, individual employees get to decide whether to make a future pay hikes pensionable. In exchange for that, they agree to modifications of pensions benefits, or they can get to keep the current benefit structure and give up future pay increases being pensionable. That must be a new word, pensionable. I never, that's the first time I've seen it and read it. All right. Illinois State President John Cullerton has applied the same consideration model to the state's pension crisis. He called Thursday's ruling more than a glimmer of hope for Chicago, whatever that means. But I know definitely what it means. It means that taxpayers in the city of Chicago are going to be on the hook, for paying pensions, teachers' pensions. We're already on a hook by Mayor Rahm Emanuel and the city council ripping through a $588 million property tax increase a few months ago. That is, and on top of that, we're going to have more taxes to pay these unfunded pensions for teachers. Okay, the $588 million property tax increase was for paying the pensions of police and fire. This is crazy, folks. And the building of schools. This is crazy, folks. You know, I see why people are leaving the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois. We have some rotten politicians, rotten city managers who don't know how to manage shit, rotten financial city managers playing and stealing and being corrupt with the money. And they're always coming to the taxpayer, the middle class of Chicago, the middle class who are already struggling to make ends meet, struggling to pay their rents, struggling to pay their mortgages, struggling to feed their children, struggling to buy clothes, and the city and the state, whenever they want money, they come straight after the taxpayer. This is crazy. You know, they will not go after the 1%, the rich people who can pay these bills, but they come after the people who are struggling, the most vulnerable. Folks, it's just crazy. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And like as I was saying, the day is really kind of gloomy, rainy. And I'm looking out of my window here. I'm looking on the boulevard here up from my studio. And have you ever had a gloomy day? It's gray outside like I'm having now. And you feel just as gloomy as the day itself looks and appears. That's something. That's something. That's how I feel today. I feel a little gloomy because that's the day in itself. Gloomy. But I'm hearing the weather's going to get better. Then it's going to get worse. It's going to get better. It's going to get worse. It's going to feel like winter. Then one day it's going to feel like spring. Then it's going to go back to feeling like winter. I guess that's the life we lead in the city of Chicago. You know, people can say all things they want. Well, it's global warming. No, global warming. Well, folks, that's the weather outside. So I told you we probably have some technical difficulties. It happens. It happens. It happens. I was just talking about Donald Trump. You probably heard, hopefully, that him and Ted Cruz are talking about each other's wives, not in a good way either. As you know, Donald Trump is a serious hater, but he just says a lot of awful things about women. And I think 7 in 10 women, they don't like Donald Trump. That's going to cut into his tally, you know, because if you ain't got women vote, I don't. He's dangerous. He's more dangerous than Donald Trump. I will be right back, folks. You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. All right, we're back. We're back on the air. Folks, we're having some technical difficulties because it's storming and it's raining over here. So we're having some technical difficulties. I hope you bear with me. When you're on the internet and it's storming and it's raining outside, which is what it's doing here. So, you know, if we're in and out, you know, it's the weather. So, as long as you know that out there, and it's not funny, but it's gray and it's cloudy here. It's storming. It's raining. I can see lightning, it's raining and snowing at the same time. So I'm in my studio, okay? I'm looking out of the window, and I see all of this. And every time there's bad weather in Chicago, we get a poor reception here, technical difficulty. So I hope everybody understands. So we may be in and out during the duration of the show. So I hope you understand that. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio 347-857 is the phone number, 1-762. Call in or just sit back and just relax and have a good time. But I'm warning you right now, we could be in and out because it's the bad weather, and it is awesome. Okay, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the air with George Wilder Jr.
Hello, George. Jeannie Seeley Smith calling in, author of Nine Friends.
Hey, Wilder. Did you
hear me?
You hear what
I know you're having trouble.
Yeah, it's storming. We got all kind of bad weather here. I'm in my studio. I'm looking out on the Broadway here, and it's wet, snowing, and running. And every time I have bad weather, we have bad weather here. Sometimes it messes with the studio here. So I'm just warning everybody, you know, if we're in and out, I'm going to try to get through the show.
Well, I understand. I'm in Minneapolis, so we understand weather.
Yeah. It looks. I mean, it's gray and it's nasty, and it's sleeping weather. You know, you can sleep. I mean, you can just snore. You know.
I love that. Yeah.
All right, ladies.
I love that weather.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I do too. All right. My audience out there, this is Jeannie Seeley Smith. Let me see. She is the author of the book Nine Friends in Time of Loss, which deals with loss and grief. For over 35 years, she has served as CEO of Perspectives Family Center, in Minneapolis,
yeah.
A model residential program for the homeless, recovering women and children. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, George, for having me on. Yes, I'm excited to talk to you. Chicago's my favorite city, so.
I'm glad to hear you
already.
Say that because.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm glad to hear you say that because so many people are putting Chicago down, you know.
And
it's a beautiful town, Jeannie. It really
is.
It's a
beautiful city.
It is so beautiful, and I want people to know that.
It's a gorgeous city, filled with charm and great people.
Okay.
Like you.
All right. Okay, Jeannie, tell us about yourself and your book.
Well, my book kind of came out of my experiences that I had working with women and children who have come to us from shelters, and so they're traumatized when they get there, and the reason why they were in shelter in the first place is usually due to addiction and poverty and unresolved trauma in their life. And the trauma usually, and probably for any one of your audience, your listeners, trauma comes from unresolved loss. Most often, we all have deep losses in our life, and we either learn to manage those losses or, you know, we suffer from a lot of unresolved feelings of grief. So my book came from watching women who come to us, and we have a very sophisticated trauma-informed program with clinical therapists who are very skilled in working through the trauma with women and children. So we have an integrated system of chemical dependency counselors and educators and teachers and therapists. And we have seen that given time and given support and opportunity with a lot of nurturing and care and having a lot of resources around them, that women will heal and that we break this cycle through this model of women staying with us for 3 years. So it's an exciting model. We have won many awards in Minneapolis and throughout the nation because of it. But out of that came my book, which deals with the fact of how we can either heal ourselves emotionally or else we can push those feelings down and we will really never heal from our grief. Hello? We started, but I heard on the radio, heard him, they're having a storm in Chicago, and this is internet, so he goes off and on, off and on. It's probably, I probably shouldn't even start because I started talking, and then we went off, and then we went on, so I probably should reschedule it. Because I was going to say, they're in Chicago. And I was going to say, well, yeah, and they, well, where did your husband live? Somebody usually asks.
And also on Division.
Right.
Division and Western.
It won't matter. I don't think I'm going to do the interview.
All right. You're still you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We just had a lightning strike go over, over the window here. And
are you
wow,
okay?
This is crazy. Debbie, go. Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm about to get up. Tell everybody about your book. If go ahead.
Well, and I certainly can, do this when it works for everyone. When you can hear, I think I was talking, and I'm not sure. I think I was talking to my empty phone, but I'm used to that. So, the book is again. It's around how we're going to deal with the grief in our lives. And are you still on? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you. I'll let you know when
okay.
I can't.
Okay. You're right. How did you hear about perspectives? I'm not sure I was talking. I'm not sure if that got through. I can begin that again, working with the homeless women and children in our program.
You can be,
didn't get that?
You can probably begin that again because I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it.
Okay, so what I was speaking of, George, is our clientele that we deal with, which is such a hard-to-serve population of women who are coming
mm-hmm.
right from shelter. And they are
they
come with their children, and they are recovering from chemical in both mental health issues, and they come traumatized. When they walk
uh-huh.
in, the children look just shell-shocked. If anybody's ever walked into a shelter, you know, you have them in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
if you ever see, you will see the children dazed. So they have lost everything.
Oh, wow.
They've lost, you know, all their security. They don't have a bed. They don't have a family. They don't have a refrigerator. They live like refugees in our society, children who are living in shelter.
Oh, wow.
It's very, very
mm-hmm.
tragic. But we have a model project in Minneapolis where the mother and child comes to us to a totally furnished apartment, which is linens and toiletries, pots and pans, furniture, sheets or beds and couches. So they arrive and they look at the table, for instance, which we think we sit at every night around dinner, you know, in most
mm-hmm.
families, and they just start to cry. They almost all of the families, we know the reaction. They walk in, they fall to their knees, and they're so grateful. They haven't been in a home.
Wow.
They haven't had a bedroom. So the grief that we work with, George, is what really inspired my book in the sense that
mm-hmm.
with all of these women and all the children, the bottom and core issue is unresolved grief. And unresolved
mm-hmm.
grief is not just unique to this population, but it's so present. You know, you see it. You can feel it you can see it in their faces. And when they walk in, you
uh-huh.
can feel this grief. But we all have it. We just hide it more.
Yes.
And the
yes.
my belief in why I wrote this book is that we are only going to probably be as happy in our life or as peaceful to the extent that we can resolve the grief in our life, the loss. And I
mm-hmm.
had an early
mm-hmm.
loss with my mother who died at age 9, and everyone has had tremendous loss, you know, some more than others, of course. Some families or some people you know who have just had tremendous amount of tragedy in their life,
mm-hmm.
and yet they
mm-hmm.
keep walking
yeah.
and they look like you and me and everybody looks okay. But it's
yeah.
how they did this. How were they able to heal? And very few people do heal. But the ones that do is why I wrote the book. It's just a little gift book. People hand it out sometimes instead of a sympathy card. It's a little good gift book that talks about 9 friends. And those 9
yeah.
friends are our emotions. So the same way the body was designed to heal
yes.
with a broken bone or a heart attack or lungs,
mm-hmm.
you know, that, you know, can pump again or a cut that can heal over, we the
yes.
body is this miraculous, you know, just unbelievable
mm-hmm.
you know, product of what we can see, you know, how some divine intervention came to either however you believe
yes.
to design or create or just around us, how the world works and how everything grows and heals. And that's how our body is. But what we don't realize and we take for granted or we don't really, I don't think we ever validate the fact that we're also created to heal emotionally. We have
yes.
friends. There's a physical reaction of cortisone that happens with shock, and it shuts down the body, and then it regulates that. So shock puts us in some, it's a friend of ours that when something hits us and we have this terrific loss, we go into shock, and some people really never get out of there and they just go away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you allow it to mm-hmm. come through, knowing that that's going to pass and you're conscious of it, the shock's here, I'm in shock, acknowledge the shock, then you are going to go into complete sobs. And tears
mm-hmm.
of grief are, this is another misnomer with people that don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. It is absolutely the worst message because the body wants to cry. It is created
yes.
to cry. It's designed to cry. And when those
mm-hmm.
tears fall, that's cortisone again. The tears, the DNA
yes.
of grief tears are different than the DNA of a cold or an onion or the wind hits your eyes. It,
yes.
It's a...
You there? I've lost you again. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I believe I lost you again. Ah. Oh, boy. I've lost her again.
Oh.
Yeah, you still there?
Yes, you hear me?
Yeah,
I
got you. I got you.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
You went off. You went off for a second there.
Yeah, so I was talking about sobs as a friend,
okay.
and how you
okay.
the message is don't cry when that is the antithesis of what the body wants to do. So listen to your body
mm-hmm.
if you're in grief, and some of your listeners right now are grieving. Listen to your body.
Yeah.
Once you sob and sob, people say, oh, I feel better, I feel stronger. And then they think it's over, but it's not over. It will come in waves over and over again. That's how the body is healing. Allow yourself to heal. And then the grief hits, the grief and the sorrow. And we wallow in it, and we stay in it, and we don't know what to do with it. And it will flow through you again. And in my book, it talks about grief and sorrow come. You know, these are the
mm-hmm.
horrible friends we have. And they linger, and they
mm-hmm.
stay. And sob wants to walk in the door more because we threw them out, and they're all sitting out on the porch swing. It's all written as a metaphor. You know, go away, grief and sorrow, leave, but they won't leave. They're like pains and arrows hitting us, sorrow and grief. And the only way through that is through it. Don't deny
mm-hmm.
it. Just know it
mm-hmm.
and accept it. Embrace it.
Exactly.
Know your body needs to do it. Then
okay, this
your next friend is acceptance. So that will
okay.
eventually get you to all nine friends. You will move
wow.
through. And at the end, as you go through, you come to inner peace, your ninth friend.
Okay. This family center, is that a shelter for women?
No, it is a supportive housing program. And
okay.
a supportive housing, a shelter is crisis. You stay there 30 days.
Okay.
That's where the women come from. They come from shelters.
Okay, they come from the shelters. Okay.
Yes. And we have a whole integrated program on how they're going to heal and build their life again. So the
I know.
Children
I used
are
to.
In school. Hello?
I used to. Yeah, I'm still here. I used to work as a social worker at an agency, one of the city agencies, where we actually homeless people came in there, and we would prefer them to shelters. And we used to see a lot of people. We see teenagers, entire families. And we
mm-hmm.
would prefer them to shelters. You are the next stop after the shelter.
Yes, we are, and we are much different than a shelter because a shelter,
okay.
we have an apartment. We have a housing campus. It's a sisterhood. All five buildings, 55 women live in these five buildings with 100 children. And they're back against the park with, you know, we have, you know, picnic tables and gardens. And it is a community, a safe community, where they stayed, George, for 3 years to rebuild their life. That's how
3 years?
Wow. 3 years. They can stay 3 years. Some have stayed longer. The average is probably 2 years. But we are also doing therapy with the children. We have a whole out-of-school program, a summer program. We provide every single thing. That's why the motto is so unique. You don't have to go over here to get your treatment or go over here to get mental health or help over here for the children. We have that
all
wrapped in. It's
all
under
one
housing
roof.
Campus, yes, in our family center. And we have a kids' cafe where all the kids come after school and they cook with our chef. And they make their
wonderful.
And it's all linens. And it's linen napkins.
Wow.
And it's glassware and flatware. Mm-hmm. It's not plastic. It's throwaway paper. They sit around a table and they talk with the mentors. And then we have teachers so that they can stay up to date with school because they all arrive usually 2 years behind in school. So if we have that pattern play out with this family without intervention, well, we know what's going to happen to that family without intervention. The huge cost to the human being and the huge cost to society. So this these programs, you know, we could not speak strong enough about supportive housing as probably the only way to deal and heal the homeless population.
But, you know, in the state of Illinois, I mean, we have a governor who is nothing but about slash and burn to all of these programs like the ones you're talking about. I mean, he is just upending a lot of these programs, and you find a lot of these people walking the streets now. You know.
Well, he's going to pay for that. You're going to pay big for
it. I hope so.
You're going to pay for human life, too. You know, you're going to pay with crime. You're going to pay with drugs. You're going to – it's a huge cost. We haven't quite caught on yet. You're going to pay one way or the other. You want to pay for them in prisons or you want to pay for them in supportive housing?
I don't think this guy really cares. He doesn't care. I mean, he's a Republican. He doesn't care. Okay.
They think they have it.
Yeah. Nine friends in time of loss. Is some of the – I think you talked about it. Is some of the – is some of what you write – No. In some of what you write, does it come from your own experience?
A lot came from my own experience. I might have gotten lost there. My mother died when I was nine. And I wrote this book 2 years ago. And I have a twin sister. And you can imagine our relationship as our mother died. We were inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
And after I wrote the book, a year ago now in 2 weeks, from March 13th, she was diagnosed with a very serious cancer that she has fought her whole year and that we have been fighting together. So the loss of my sister and my twin is the greatest loss I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had this book.
Wow.
And I kept on saying to myself, I must have written it for myself because it's helped me.
Okay, where can we find it? I mean, if my audience wanted
on
to pick
Amazon,
that book up, it sounds very interesting.
You can go on Amazon and get it. Yeah, Amazon.
Okay.
Just put Amazon and write Nine Friends in Time of Loss or Jeannie Seeley Smith or put it in Google. It'll come up. And it's
great.
Hey,
thanks for being on the show. I'm gonna let you go before we get another
you
light
lose me
strike.
Again. Thank you, George. You keep up your good work and your good voice.
No problem.
I hear you. I just
thank you so much.
Great work. You're welcome. Bye bye.
All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. We're having some difficulties out here. We are having some difficulties here. You did good work.
At this time, I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you for coming back to the show. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for your feedback. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your input. Thank you for. I feel like I'm accepting an Oscar or something for a good movie, but no, I'm just thanking everybody who called into the show, who have positive feedback. Always have positive feedback for the show. But even if you have negative feedback, I learned from that. I want to thank my earlier guest today, Jeannie Seeley Smith, for being on the show. She was being interrupted. we're having bad weather in Chicago. There's lightning. It looks gray. It's bad. It's snowing. It's raining. It's cold. So you guys out there, bear with me. You know, we're trying to get through this. Okay. You know, so bad weather always affect the computer, and this is internet radio. And when you have bad weather, you know, you're going to have cracks and interruptions sometimes. So you guys bear with me, all right? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook, Block Talk Radio. I'm all over the place. You know, hit me up with some good, great feedback. I don't need too much negative stuff, but if it's negative, I'll take that too. But, you know, thanks for your support and everything. And this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're going to try to be around for a long time, folks, because we know you love this show. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's see. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi, George. It's Luann Hunt.
Luann Hunt, as if I didn't know. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Did you just hear me? I said, we're having some hell of a weather in Chicago.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
I mean, it's scary. It's gray. It's dark. It's snowing. It's raining. It's blowing. Everything you can think of, it's going on right now. So I tell everybody who's listening and people who are going to call in, if they call in, to be ready for interruptions and because it always affects. I mean, you hear people talking about technical difficulties. Now I know what they mean, you know, because, you know, the weather can interrupt, you know, a broadcast, you know. So let's hopefully that won't happen. It happened earlier with the earlier guests, but let's hope it doesn't happen again. Okay,
yeah.
Lorraine Hunt, you're an author. Your book is, let's see, do I have it here? Okay, you're a 20-year, you have a 20-year career as an indie recording artist. You're an artist. You're a musician.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Tell us a little bit about that. First, give the folks out here a little bit of your bio, and then tell us about your career, recording artist.
Well, I've been at this for a long time, you know, almost
mm-hmm.
3 decades.
Wow.
Really.
You sound so young.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
As
yeah,
if
you know,
you're
I
still
started
young.
Out yeah, I'm young regardless what the
yes.
number says.
Yeah.
But I started out kind of really slow as, you know, just learning how to sing cuz I wasn't one of these people that just opened the mouth as a child and people said, oh, you know, it's a prodigy or anything. I really didn't show much promise, I guess, but I knew it was my calling. So I just took steps throughout my young life to learn how to sing and sing well. And, you know, it's been a long time getting to this point, but over the years, I've just honed my craft, and I've sung all over the place, and I started recording seriously about 10 years ago, and I put out my first national release in 2007, and I wound up getting, you know, topping charts in Europe in country music and getting a lot of awards and things like that, and it's just sort of gone from there, you know.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. When did you first have you been on American Idol or The Voice or any of those shows? Just to be a little facetious.
Yeah, no, I'm too past my prime for any of that stuff. But
you know that's a shame. I mean, everything is geared toward the youth. I mean, I'm in my 50s. I'm almost in my 60s. So you know, so everything is geared toward the youth and. My peers and I, we still have our voices. I mean, I am a musician also. I play acoustic guitar, electric guitar, bass guitar. I was in a band a few years ago, but I've never reached the heights that you have reached. Somehow, music isn't the same as it used to be years ago, and I'm pretty sure you've found out that change in. You recognize that change in music as you've gone along in your career.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, one of the things that I'm kind of on a mission now to do is to redefine what success means, especially as an independent artist, because even the major artists are not really making money with album sales and even single song downloads because the percentage they get on iTunes and all the other download sites, it's just so minuscule. It's almost impossible to make any kind of decent money. So going forward, I think it has to kind of be more about the achievements that we can create that don't have to do with the finances and, you know, the reviews we can get, the awards, the songs we can top the charts with, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you want to make money as an artist, I think you just have to go the old-fashioned route and go out and sing everywhere you can and get paid and sell your albums from the stage, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If your goal is to make money, but if you want to go something beyond that and be taken seriously by the critics and everything, I think you have to do some other things.
Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, being a musician and trying to make money and trying to make it in the, you know, in the industry, it's almost like being an author. I'm an author, and it's just like you said. If I want to make money selling my books, it's best if I put them all in my car and go to the park and start selling them, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, and because generally, you know, if I don't do that, they're going to sit on Amazon, you know. So, and I have been, if I can say this, I have been a music lover all my life. What are some of the people that you have inspired you?
You know, I grew up in the 70s, so mm-hmm. I was really affected by a lot of the folk singers that came out of that time, like James mm-hmm. Taylor and Carole King. And, you know,
yeah.
But I also love the rock music that came out of there. Fleetwood Mac, mm-hmm. one of my all-time favorite bands.
Mm-hmm.
I would say my biggest influence is John Denver.
Oh, wow. He was one of my favorites.
Really, really.
Yeah, he was. Rocky Mountain High. I mean, I just, what's the other one? No, I can't think of it.
Take Me Home, Country Roads. And
Take
Annie
Me Home,
Song.
Country Roads, Back Roads, Back Home Again, or something
back
like
home
that.
Again. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, he was one of
yeah.
my favorites.
Yeah, I think he struck a chord with so many people, and I just, something
mm-hmm.
about his just moved my soul, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I mean, his, everything about him was so top of the line. I mean, everything from his pitch to his tone to the way he wrote songs, it was just in another league than most people.
He sure was. He sure was. He was probably surprised at his own success.
I know that he was, and I know his producer, Milt Okun, and Milt mm-hmm. actually has told me that John was just kind of shocked at the way everything unfolded.
Yeah. So, what do you have planned for the future in terms of music?
I want to keep, you know, seeing how far I can take this,
mm-hmm.
you know, especially with promotion online and promotion to radio and charts and
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big, you know, I'm a big believer in growing as an artist. I mean, that's like my main thing.
Yes.
Just to continue to get better at what I do. And
yes.
then I think the way that I know that that's happening is the response that I'm getting from people in the marketplace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So just
yeah.
keeping on with that, you know, keep putting that things out and then seeing, you know, what's coming back, and hopefully it continues to grow and you know, expand as the time goes on. And I've been getting more and more invites to go sing at places, and especially Europe, but right now I'm kind of leery about going to Europe, so.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think about all of that stuff happening in Europe, Paris and Brussels?
It's just such a difficult time in our world. It's a scary time everywhere. And I was talking to somebody about this a little earlier and said, you know, I don't know what the answer is, but there has to be one, because we can't keep this up. You know, something has to give in society.
Exactly.
And, you know, we need to figure out a way to have peace and harmony. And we're, you know, of course, it's never going to be perfect. But it's just getting to the point where when you're afraid to go somewhere because, you know, you might get blown up.
Yeah, you're afraid to go across the street to the store. You're afraid to go to the bus station. You're afraid to go to the mall. And people are telling you to be vigilant when you walk down the street. Pay attention to what's going on around you, who's in front of you, who's on the side of you. You know, this is just, you know, what kind of world are we in? It's just, you know, it's just crazy. It's just crazy. All right, Luann Hunt on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Tell everybody where they can pick up your material and where they can come see you and all that kind of thing.
Well, they can go to my website to hear more about, mm-hmm. see more about me at www.luannhunt.com, and it's Luanne.
You know what? I'm on your website right now, and you are beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
your little red
that.
Hat. You got a little red hat there. Yeah.
Thanks.
And I'm going to read a quote here. It says, I'd much rather fail at being uniquely me than succeed at trying to be someone I am not. That's a great. That's great.
Well, you know, I just got kind of praised by a critic a couple months ago for being unique, you know, and he said, like, so much of the stuff, especially in country music, it's the same old, same old. You don't really hear anything different. And, you know, I'm not going to go out and just try to be a copycat of something else. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the point? You want to be original. You want to be original. That was that was one of the things in my band. My band wanted to play cover songs. I wanted to be original, so I started writing the songs.
Oh, that's great. So do you have those songs anywhere that they can be heard, or is this something you keep to yourself? Or?
No, this was years ago. This was years ago,
okay.
And they're probably this was years ago. So the only thing I have right now of this is probably memories. I'm an author now. I do a lot of writing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. And,
writing.
You know, the audience now has opened up because of the internet, which makes it really nice.
Yeah, it does. It does. And by being a radio host, I'm all over the. I mean, I get calls from people all over the world. You know, and that's fun to me. And that is so great to me. And you're the first, actually, you're the first musician I've had on the show. I've had people ask, wanted to be on the show as musician, but however, I was booking so many people that I had to, you know, tell them, you know, maybe next time. But you're actually the first.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm honored. That's awesome.
I'm honored to have you.
Oh, thank you so much.
No problem. Is there something you want to say that you to my audience, the listening public out there, that you have not already said?
You know, just to keep the faith. I mean, it is a horrible time right now in our world, and there's this darkness that's sort of looming over us, and I think it's really hard to sort of not feel the energy of that. But I just encourage everyone to just keep thinking on the positive track and know that better days are ahead.
Exactly. And Luann Hunt, lots of success to you, and thank you for being on my show. I wanted to ask you, would you like a link of this show so you can put it on your website or your blog and have your fans listen?
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome. So, and
okay,
there's on my website. Yeah, on my website, there's a link to my Facebook page. So, and I usually post links on there all the time. So,
okay, I'll tell you what I do. I will friend you as a Facebook friend, and I will send you the link.
Okay, that sounds really great, and then I can share it around. Hello? Hello?